Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive.
It's great to be back.
Today we're going deep into fear.
Oh yeah, fear.
We're going to be looking at the science of fear, how the brain responds to threats and danger by.
It sounds pretty intense.
It does sound kind of intense, but honestly, it's a really fascinating book.
It is, yeah.
I'm really excited to jump in and talk about this with you today.
Me too.
We're going to answer questions like, why do some people love scary movies while others hate them?
Yeah, like, what's that about?
Is fear always a bad thing?
Good question.
And really try to understand this whole world of fear.
Well, fear, it's often seen as like a negative thing,
Right.
but it's actually one of the most important tools that we have for survival.
Oh, absolutely. Back in the day, like our ancestors needed to be afraid to survive.
Right. They had to fear predators,
Oh, yeah, for sure.
dangerous situations.
Totally.
That fear is what kept them alive.
It makes me wonder, though, about some of the fears that I have today.
Like what?
Like, I am terrified of spiders. You and like everybody else.
Is that something that's just like leftover from way back when?
That's exactly what the book is saying.
Really?
It could be a holdover from our evolutionary past. They
Fascinating.
call those like phobias, right? Like arachnophobia.
Fear of spiders?
Exactly. Or nyctophobia,
Yeah.
fear of the dark.
Wow.
These might be things that were really helpful for our ancestors
Right.
to stay
They're
alive.
not so helpful today.
Well, maybe to some degree.
Maybe.
But not in the same way.
Not in the same way.
Like, you're not going to get eaten by a spider, most likely.
Yeah, hopefully not.
But that fear is still there.
It's wild how our brains haven't quite caught up to modern times.
It's like those ancient pathways are still there,
Right.
ready to fire up when we sense danger.
So when we feel that fear, like what's actually happening in our brains?
So it's like your brain is a high-tech security system.
Okay. I like that.
The amygdala.
The what?
It's this little almond-shaped structure
Okay.
deep in your brain, and it acts as like the alarm system.
So it's constantly on guard.
Yeah, it's always scanning for threats.
Whether they're real or not.
Exactly. And when it senses something dangerous,
Boom.
exactly, it triggers a cascade of responses in your body.
That's incredible. And I know researchers have looked at the amygdala
Oh, yeah.
in terms of things like implicit bias.
That's right.
These split-second decisions that we make when we're under pressure.
Our gut reactions.
It's incredible how this tiny little part of our brain has so much power.
Yeah, it really does.
So, okay, the amygdala sends out the alarm.
Right.
What happens next?
That's when the hypothalamus steps in.
Okay. Another brain region.
Yeah, and it controls the autonomic nervous system
Okay.
and it triggers the fight or flight response.
Oh, the famous fight or flight.
Yeah, have you ever felt that jolt of adrenaline?
Oh, yeah. Like when I have to give a presentation or if I
Yeah.
suddenly get called on in a meeting.
That's it.
That's the fight or flight response.
That's your body getting ready for action.
So it's not just like a mental thing.
Yeah, not at all.
There are actual physical changes happening in our bodies.
Right, your heart rate increases.
Oh, for sure. I can feel
Your
one.
pupils dilate,
Oh.
take in more light. Your
Interesting.
body releases a bunch of glucose to give you energy.
It's like we're suddenly equipped with these
It
superpowers
is
designed to help us survive whatever threat we're facing.
exactly. And there's another response too that we shouldn't forget,
Which is,
the freeze response.
oh, yeah, where you just like freeze up.
Yeah, it sometimes gets overlooked.
Right.
But it can be a really effective survival strategy too.
So it's not just being scared stiff.
No, think about like a little mouse
Okay.
when it sees a cat.
Uh-oh.
Sometimes the best thing to do is just freeze.
Right. Blend in.
Don't move a muscle.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
I remember one time in college, I was giving a presentation
Uh-oh.
and I got so nervous, I totally froze.
It
I
happened.
just stood there staring at everyone.
Sometimes your body just takes over.
So it's a natural response.
It is, and it can be helpful in the right situation.
Definitely. But let's talk about what's happening on a chemical level.
Okay.
Like, what are the hormones and neurotransmitters that are involved in this whole fear
Oh,
response?
yeah. That's where it gets really interesting.
Tell me everything.
So, first, we've got to talk about cortisol,
Cortisol.
the stress hormone.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
It's what gives you energy when you're stressed out.
Makes sense.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
If your cortisol stays high for too long,
Well, that doesn't sound good.
it can actually be really harmful.
Oh, no.
You know, when you're super stressed for
Yes.
like days
Oh, yeah, all the time.
and then you get sick.
Yeah, it feels like it always happens.
Well, the book explains that high cortisol weakens your immune system.
Seriously. So
Yeah.
it's not just about feeling stressed, it actually impacts our physical health.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, so cortisol is one player.
Right. What about adrenaline?
Adrenaline. Oh, yeah, that's the one that gives you that rush.
It's responsible for that burst of energy.
When we're afraid.
Exactly.
It gets your heart racing, your muscles tense.
Prepares you for action.
It's powerful stuff.
It is.
So after the fear subsides, how do we calm back down?
That's where serotonin comes in.
Serotonin.
It helps bring everything back to a state of calm.
Like a reset button.
Yeah, it's all about finding the right balance of these chemicals.
Right, the right cocktail for the right situation.
Exactly.
It's amazing how complex the system
It
is.
is really intricate.
So we've been talking about fear, but what about anxiety? Is that the same thing?
That's a good question. A lot of people wonder about that.
Yeah.
The main difference is that fear is immediate.
Okay.
It's about a present danger.
Like a tiger jumping out at you.
Exactly right in front of you.
Okay.
Anxiety is more about potential threats.
So like stuff that might happen in the future.
Exactly. Like, what if there's a tiger hiding in the bushes?
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So fear is like when you almost trip and you get that jolt.
Exactly.
And anxiety is like when you're worried about paying your bills.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, cool. So they're different, but anxiety can be hard to deal with.
It can be, because it's about things that are uncertain,
Right.
and it can really mess with your daily life.
The book talks about how bad it can be.
Yeah. Sometimes you need help to deal with it.
It mentions therapy, like CBT,
Right. Cognitive behavioral
to
therapy.
help manage anxiety.
It can be really effective.
But the book also says that understanding where our fears come from is important.
Absolutely.
So, besides our ancient wiring, are there other ways we learn to be afraid?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like what?
Well, fear can be learned and conditioned.
Okay, like Pavlov's dogs.
Exactly. They
Yeah.
learn to associate the bell with food.
Right, and then they would drool just from hearing the bell.
Exactly. We can be conditioned to fear things too.
It makes you wonder what kind of things we're being conditioned to fear without even realizing
It's
it.
a good question for
It's
sure.
kind of scary.
Yeah. Well, classical conditioning plays a role,
Okay.
but also observational learning.
Oh, like if you see someone else being afraid of something?
Exactly like if you see someone freaking out over a spider,
Yeah.
you might start fearing spiders too.
Oh, especially with kids.
Definitely.
They pick up on everything.
Oh, yeah, their brains are like sponges.
Totally. And then there's trauma, too.
Right, traumatic experiences can really embed fear in our memories.
And that can lead to things like PTSD
Exactly, and those fears can be really intense.
and hard to overcome.
For sure. Usually you need professional help for that.
The book does mention some techniques for dealing with fear,
Like what?
like exposure therapy,
Oh, yeah, where you gradually face your fears.
in a safe environment.
Exactly. The idea is that if you keep facing it, the fear response will lessen over time. And it
Interesting.
can be very effective.
It also talks about mindfulness meditation
Oh, yeah.
to calm down the amygdala.
That fear center in the brain.
I've tried that and it does seem to help.
Mindfulness is a great tool.
Yeah, it helps you become more aware of your thoughts and feelings.
Without judgment,
Right.
which is really helpful for managing fear and anxiety.
So it's not about getting rid of fear completely.
No.
It's more about understanding it and not letting it control us.
Exactly. And there are things we can do in our everyday lives to help.
Like what?
Deep breathing exercises,
Okay, yeah, that's.
regular
Is
exercise,
he active?
and even just journaling.
To process your anxieties.
Exactly. Those are all great tools.
Good stuff. Okay, so let's talk about fear in the modern world.
Okay.
Feels like there's a lot to be afraid of these days.
Oh, absolutely.
What do you think?
Well, the book talks about how technology and especially social media can make our fears worse.
It's true.
Information spreads so quickly online.
It's like we're constantly being bombarded with scary headlines.
Exactly. It's easy to feel overwhelmed.
Totally. And then there are the big real fears.
Like what?
Climate change,
Ah.
economic instability,
Right.
political polarization.
Big issues.
It's almost like our ancient fear responses don't know how to handle these modern
Yeah, it's
threats.
like running away from a tweet about climate change isn't going to solve anything.
Yeah, exactly. So how do we deal with these modern fears?
Well, the book suggests using fear as motivation.
Okay, so like turn it into something positive.
Exactly. Fear can be a powerful driver.
It's like that saying, fear can be a great motivator, but a terrible master.
Exactly. It's all about finding the right balance.
And the book also talks about controlled fear.
Oh, yeah, like horror movies and thrill seeking.
It's like we're choosing to experience fear in a safe way.
Maybe to test our limits.
Right, or to feel like we're overcoming something.
It's interesting, right?
It is. We're so weird.
We are.
But the future of fear research is
Oh,
fascinating.
yeah, they're talking about editing fear responses in the brain.
Whoa, that's intense.
It brings up a lot of ethical questions.
Like, should we even be messing with our fears like that?
Exactly. And what could happen if we do?
What are the unintended consequences?
It's like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Totally. It makes you think about what it even means to be human.
It really does. It's a powerful question.
Yeah, it feels like we're heading into this future where we have all these tools to understand and manage fear. But what about the responsibility that comes with that?
Oh, absolutely. Technology gives us incredible power, but it's up to us to use it wisely.
Right. We need to have these serious conversations about what it means to manipulate our emotions, especially something as basic as fear.
It really makes you wonder.
If we can change our fears, what else could we change about ourselves?
Yeah.
It brings us back to what we were talking about before. That balance between safety and growth, you know?
Right.
If we get rid of all fear, do we lose something important about being human?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's like a paradox. We want to feel safe, but we also want adventure and challenge.
Exactly.
And fear kind of makes those experiences more meaningful.
That's so true.
Think about it this way.
Okay.
Without fear, there's no courage.
Wow.
Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's being able to act even though you're afraid.
So it's not about erasing fear.
No.
It's about learning to work with it.
Yeah. Understand it, respect it, use it to grow.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Thanks.
This whole conversation has been so eye-opening.
It's been great.
We've covered so much about fear today, from like the biology and evolution to the psychology and even the future of fear research.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
What stands out to you as like the most important thing we've talked about?
I think it's realizing that understanding fear can empower us.
How so?
When we know where our fears come from and how they affect us,
yeah,
we can make better choices.
We're not just reacting out of fear.
Right. We're more in control.
I like that. So instead of being swept away by the current, we learn to navigate it.
Exactly.
Great analogy. So to sum it all up,
yeah,
fear isn't the enemy.
No, it's not.
It's what we do with it, how we understand it, and how we choose to respond.
I completely agree.
That's what really matters.
Well said.
Before we go, I want to leave everyone with something to think about.
Oh, shoot.
If you could edit out specific fears, which ones would you choose and what might happen as a result?
Oh, wow. That's a deep one.
It makes you really think about the role of fear in our lives.
Definitely.
And the choices we make when it comes to our emotions.
Yeah. Good food for thought.
So on that note, we've come to the end of our deep dive into the science of fear.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the fascinating world of knowledge.
And remember, a little fear can be a good thing.
It shows we're alive.
It shows we're capable of growth.
And that there's always something new to discover.
Even in the scariest parts of our minds.
Thanks for joining us on the deep dive. See you next time.